Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Be just a little different for you, just a little different, not really a little different, but what I want to do, I want to be able to dive into the book just a little bit, just to give you some insight on something that you may come across while you're reading this wonderful piece of work that I have put together just for you, the sports parent. What am I talking about? I'm talking about my book, You Don't Know What You Don't Know, The Sports Parent's Guide. And folks, I titled that for a reason, and hopefully what I have put between these pages will definitely answer some of those questions and take just a little bit of curiosity out of the mix. But folks, you know, I don't like to even start my show without my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and that college experience. So I'm going to go ahead and play that. We're going to come back from that. And then we're going to go straight into chapter one of You Don't Know What You Don't Know.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
Making smart cool. He's making smart cool. That's how he do it. You know, and when Keith put this together for me some years ago, man, it had to be like way back, I want to say close to around about 2010-2011 time frame. Maybe even 2012, I may go back that far. But he put this little piece together for me. And when he closed it off with, he's making smart cool, oh, man, that was it. That was it. That was the catchphrase of the day. That was the catchphrase of the day. And I don't know if that's just one of those catchphrases that they say at Harvard. But since then, I have heard the president, the former president of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, make that same statement. He was making smart cool. Wow. So, and I say that to tie Keith into President Obama, because Keith also attended Harvard University. Yes, he attended Harvard and graduated. Yes, he attended and graduated from Harvard University. What is he doing now? He's still out there playing ball. But he also understands the importance of his education and the value that it will bring to him later on in life. Now he's just putting together his, you know, his funds and his ends to do the things that he want to do later on in life. And a graduate from Harvard, already stepping into the game and got some ends already put away for a rainy day. Oh, man, that's a win-win situation. Come on now. You can't ask for nothing better than that. You know, he's been playing ball for at least the last 7 years overseas. And I want to say at least consistently. So he's made a nice little bit of money playing overseas. And in playing overseas, I don't, you know, of course they ain't doing no taxes, but hopefully he's paying his taxes once he gets back on this end. Not unless he's claiming overseas as his residency, his second citizenship. I don't know. I don't know how all that plays out, but that's some of the things that we as parents of athletes need to know and need to understand. Need to know and need to understand. So in chapter one of my book, You Don't Know What You Don't Know, The Sports Parents Guide, I titled that chapter, How to Be an Effective Sports Parent. Well, let's unpack that thing today, folks. Let's unpack it to the sense of what is that really saying? What is that all about? How to be an effective sports parent. Well, you know, in the chapter, I talk about why I even got involved in what my child was doing, what my son was doing in sports. No, I'm going to have to say my children, because all my children have been involved in sports, and I have been actively involved with them during that time period involved in sports. Now, you know, to the point of in their early days, I coached the oldest two when they started out playing track. Now, my daughter, she wanted to do cheerleading after she finished track. And at the time, I wasn't the cheerleader coach. So I couldn't get into that. But know that, understand that, realize that I was there in full support each and every opportunity I had. But I coached them to the point of helping them understand that sports is something to help you mold and shape your life. You know, as I talk about something in the book, I got involved in this because during the time period that Mike was going through the recruiting process, you know, it was kind of difficult because I didn't understand what it was all about. I didn't know nothing about college recruiting. You know, I knew very little bit about the nuances of high school sports, you know, only playing a bare minimum or participating in the bare minimum of high school sports myself. I knew very little about it. So as a result, it didn't work out for me as far as being able to steer him in the right direction early on. But what I had to do, I understood very quickly that I had to learn the game. I had to learn the game that's being played with our children. And when I say learn the game, that doesn't necessarily mean that I had to learn every X and every O, you know, talking about every part of the game as far as the positions and the defenses and the offenses and, you know, things of that. No. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, folks, as a sports parent, I had to learn how to be supportive of my child as he moved forward towards trying to play at that collegiate level. Making sure that he had the proper training, making sure that he stayed focused in the areas that he needed to stay focused in, like the classroom. You know, I've seen too many young men, and I think of two of them right on. Matter of fact, I could think of three high school athletes that I know should have played at the next level. Two of them are young men, and one is a young lady. And they didn't end up playing at the next level. And when I say the next level, I mean the collegiate level. Now, at which level would they have played? Was not Division I, Division II, Division III, NAIA? Not sure. But I know that they had that college potential. But for whatever reason, the academic side wasn't there. I know one young man, for example. He was a high school quarterback. Also, he was a starting point guard on the basketball team at the varsity level in both sports. Coming into high school as a freshman, starting point guard and starting quarterback at the varsity level. Now, here's why we need to be involved, parents. This young man, for 4 years of high school, will complete that first semester of high school and then turn around, and what would happen? Man, the saddest thing that would happen that I can possibly think of. For 4 years straight, once that second semester kicked in, once that first report card came out, guess what? That young man was now ineligible to play. Ineligible. But had just completed a full entire football season. But got out there to play basketball. And when that report card came out at the end of the first semester, was ineligible to play. Now, how do you do that for 4 years? Why would you do that for 4 years? Why would somebody allow their athlete to do that for 4 years? Now, I'm talking about coaches right now. Why would parents not see that and try to modify that after the first time it happened? Because oftentimes, parents, we allow ourselves to fall into this situation of we put all trust and confidence in the coaches or the athletic directors or somebody else that's on the sidelines whispering in our ear, telling us that, yeah, you know, don't worry about him playing basketball. You know, he's going to be able to be a walk-on when he get to college because he's already going to be there playing football. You know, and he had a great season. Now, when I say this young man was athletic, oh, man, unbelievable. Unbelievable talent. So somebody along the line knew he had the potential. But nobody took the right action to ensure that he reached his own personal level of success. And I know that he had the desire to play at the next level. I seen that young man just a few weeks ago. And when I seen him a few weeks ago, man, you know, his whole life has turned around and has changed, and a few things, other things have happened with him. But you know, you don't even look the same. But just to imagine if that potential would have rose to the top and that young man would have benefited from his athletic talent. Wow. I think he would have been all right. He would have been all right. I think he would have definitely been in a different place, in a different space right now in his life. And it probably would have motivated his other siblings to be in a different place, in a different space as well. So, you know, when I say the value of being an effective sports parent, we could have shut that down. We could have shut that down. And I seen it towards the end. But after doing some research and checking into a few things, found out that that was a pattern. This was a pattern that has happened with this young man for 4 years. Now, let me quickly touch on the other young man. Now, at least the first one that I mentioned had an opportunity to play in high school. But this next young man was a phenomenal middle school player, to the point where, you know, some of these AAU coaches, and although he did play football as well, some of these AAU coaches would come by looking for him just to take him to various games with them. Teams was created based around his potential. But nobody, again, bothered to look at his academics. Nobody, again, bothered to say, hey, he has the potential. Let's do something for him, or let's ensure that he's on the right path. I watched some young men just yesterday out at the local city park. They're out there playing ball. Now, I know one of the three that I seen and recognized, you know, and they recognized me as well, definitely had the potential to play high school ball, because one of them did play, and the other one got on, I think, towards the last few years of high school. Now, is it that his game all of a sudden transformed? No. For whatever reason, he had no support system around him to motivate him and to guide him and let him know, hey, okay, go ahead and play. But at the same time, you need to maintain and make sure you stay up on those academics. You know, I ended up getting involved in this and being part of being an effective sports parent. I got involved in my son's recruiting process because during the time period he was in high school, you know, he started his growth spurt. And one of his teachers, which was a volleyball coach, said, hey, I want you to come out and play volleyball for me. Now, he had a connection with this coach because of the simple fact that this guy was also one of his teachers at one point in time when he was in the middle school. So they had a little connection. For whatever reason, the coach got a new job over at the high school just about the same time that they transitioned over. And so he came out and said, Dad, I want to try out for volleyball. We were at freshman orientation, standing in the auditorium. And he came out and said, Dad, I want to play volleyball. I said, volleyball? I said, son, what you know about volleyball? He said, you know, told me the coach's name and said, hey, you know, he's coaching volleyball. And he used to be one of his teachers over at the middle school. And I said, okay, all right. I said, hey, but you know my requirement. My requirement is if you're going out there to play volleyball, guess what? You got to maintain those grades. And we all know parents with our kids tell us when we tell them about maintaining some grades. I got it. I got this. I said, okay, good. I'm glad to see that you got this. So he went out there and did the volleyball practices, and the season started, and he's out there, and, you know, he's enjoying playing the game because, you know, he's a big guy on the line. By that time, he was about 6'5", 5, pushing up on 6'6", real easy. And, you know, he's out there having fun. And I said, okay, cool. Now, I looked at him oftentimes, either at practice or even during the game, and seeing those little bitty shorts that they was wearing out there at volleyball, I was like, oh, my goodness, how much longer is he going to deal with this? But that's a whole nother story. But I supported him in what he wanted to do because that's what he wanted to do, and he was maintaining his grades. One day, the coach sent a letter home and said, Mr. Scott, we're going to have to Mike's going to have to start coming to study hall, you know, prior to going to practice. And so I took that very same note. I flipped it over on the other side, and I simply said, Coach, Mike will now be coming home instead of going to practice. He will be doing his study hall with me. If and when he picks his grades back up to where I want them to be, then at that time, if you want him to be back on the team, then we'll make that happen. Now, needless to say, he wasn't failing the class, but he was towing that line very tough. We know how that go, parents. They push the envelope to see how fast they could drop down in and try to pull it back up. Nah, we don't play that game. He wasn't failing the class. And he wasn't just passing the class. He was passing the class. You know, he could have got away with, you know, with the grade that he received and wouldn't have had no problems in maintaining a decent grade point average. But I had a higher standard. And in having that higher standard, I wanted to make sure he understood, no, if you want to go to college and play, you got to bring it up here and keep it up here. So he came home and started doing his homework with me. And if I wasn't at home at the time, I would make sure I picked him up shortly after he got out of school, took him to wherever I was going to be. And from wherever I was at, he had his quiet space and his time to do his homework. Now, once he completed that, hey, now he go out there and play and hang out with the rest of the guys, so on and so forth. But it took me as that active sports parent to ensure that my child is going to do the right thing, to ensure that, hey, guess what? I want him to reach his own personal level of success. Because if that wasn't the case, and if it wasn't me pushing that, he would have went down that rabbit hole. He would have got to the place where he got comfortable and realized that he can barely have these passing grades and at the same time be able to participate in sports. Because in the state in which I currently reside in, which is Virginia, they basically set our children up not to be able to be successful if they're following just the standard for high school graduation. What do I mean by that? If they're trying to receive that standard diploma, just the basic standard diploma, which requires them to have X amount of credits. If they're trying to receive just that alone, nothing extra, nothing fancy, nothing special, nothing high flying, so on and so forth, just that alone. That diploma alone will not, I'll say this again, will not allow them to qualify for NCAA Division I sports. Will not. And now that the NCAA Division I has moved up a notch, because at one point in time you can get in with a basic 2.0, which is about a C. Now it's at least a 2.3. Even that is a very low standard. But with that being said, with the basic diploma, it will not allow them to qualify for Division I sports. So parents, what I want you to do, I want you to check that out in your state. I want you to see in your respective states, if you're listening to this podcast, whether or not you're listening live this afternoon, or whether or not you are listening, whether or not you're listening later on to a recorded version of it. I want you to check it out and see what's the requirement in your state. If the requirement in your state is along the same lines as what we're doing here in Virginia, then guess what? You may want to start reaching out to your local state association or state league or state conference or however they title it and see if they would consider making a change, because that is vitally important. And I talked to you about some other things, but this is all part of being an effective sports parent, an effective sports parent. Now, folks, you can dig deeper into this conversation and deeper into some of the things that I experienced during this time frame. If you get a copy of this book, You Don't Know What You Don't Know, The Sports Parent's Guide. So we're talking about chapter one here today, folks. And if you want to join in on this conversation, guess what? You can always reach us at area code 516-453-9932. I'll give you that number again, 516-453-9932. Check us out. Jump in on the conversation. If you got something that you want to bring to the table and you think the conversation is of value, then, hey, give us a call this afternoon. Jump in on the conversation. Or you got another question in reference to being an effective sports parent. Let's talk about it. Let's break it down. Let's dissect it. Let's unpack it. Let's see what can help you help your child reach their own personal level of success. Folks, we're going to step away for a second here. I'm going to let you check out our Parents Coaching Parents jingle and a little bit more of my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and then we'll be right back.
Guide, athletes, scholarship, mentors, help people and elevate parents, coaching parents, know the game.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating dead. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
This is Scott. It's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call.
Hey there, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call.
Hey, Mr. Scott. This is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael. George Johnson again with the NBPA. We are playing phone tag. If it's okay...
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA.
Hey, Mike, this is John Belon, the head coach at West Virginia. Try to get in touch with you here, so... I want to talk with you a little bit about your son. I know he's at home.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Dave Lake, Oakland. It's about 6:15. Hope all is well. I talked to Coach Keats earlier today, and he said he had a conversation with you.
Next message.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Coach Keats, call me back with your fax.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Horn giving you a call back from thesaber.com. I hope all's going well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Part of audio, I was actually just...
Scott, this is Justin Young, editor of Rivals.com Basketball Recruiting. I just want to give you a call this morning. It's 9:45. I understand...
This is Scott. How are you? This is Dave Leto calling from Virginia. Hope all is well. Just trying to touch base.
This is Coach Jim. I have just gotten some disturbing news from some of the... coaches that has been involved with trying to convince.
Yes, Mr. Scott, this is Sidney Lowe from NC State University. Wanted to touch base with you, sir, and get an opportunity to speak with you at your convenience. Had the pleasure of watching Michael play the other day in the scrimmage.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
That's right. That's right. That's what they said. They said the university selected Mike Scott from the University of Virginia. Woo! Man, that was a glorious day. That was a glorious day. That was the day of, most folks would have been, oh, man, they would have been beside themselves. They would have been in such awe. You wouldn't have been able to talk to them for about the next week or so. But you know what? And I often share this with other parents. I say, that was a great day because I seen the joy in his face. That was a phenomenal time when he got that phone call from his agent. And his agent told him, hey, the Hawks is going to pick you up next. And how he sat there, and when that time came and that announcement was made, oh, man, you know, that's one of them scenes where it just could bring tears to your eyes. But being a humble sports parent that I am, I was proud of him. But even more so, and I say this and I stress this each and every time, parents, and I can't say it enough, I was even more proud of him during December of 2011 when he received his degree. He didn't walk until May of 2012, but 2011, he received his degree from the University of Virginia. And that was the day that, oh, man, my heart was overwhelmed. I was just told, oh, man, you just don't know. You just don't know. To see, understand, know, and to feel, the closure. Because he had actually spent 5 years at the university because he received an injury in his last year, and they agreed to keep him for an additional year. So as a result, it worked out for him, you know, and they put it right in place so that, hey, he was able to conclude all his work, finish out his season, you know, played that additional, well, he stopped when he received the injury, and then he came back and completed a full season the following season, and then had a chance to walk and receive that degree when that time came. And that's when I was in awe. That's the moment that got me, you know. And like I said to him, and I told him, now I'll be honest with any and everybody, the draft into the NBA was a bonus. It was a bonus. It was just an added plus for all the things that you did just to get to that point. It was a capstone because, hey, you could have walked away from the University of Virginia with your degree and walked into a nice situation here within the state just based upon coming from the University of Virginia and receiving that degree from the University of Virginia. Whether or not it was in basket weaving, whether or not it was in anthropology, theology, psychiatry, whatever, chemistry, mathematics, whatever, you'd have walked into a nice position based upon the situation that you came from the University of Virginia. Within the state, that's how they support their alumni. So, parents, what I want to do, and I'm going to give you the number so you want to call in. If you want to join the conversation, you can always reach us at 516-453-9932. Let me hit that one more time for you. 516-453-9932. That number will get you into our switchboard. Once you get into our switchboard, hey, let them know that you want to join the conversation or you got something that you want to add to the conversation, and by all means, we're going to get you in. We're going to get you in without a doubt. So if that's the case, join us. Open up the phone line. Talk to us. What's on your mind? But what I want to do in the last few minutes that we have here together, I want to talk about something that I highlighted in Chapter 1. Now, of course, I'm not going to go into any great detail because guess what? You know I want you to go ahead and pick up that copy of that book. I want you to pick up that copy of that book to simply say, hey, I got it. I'm going to read the rest of the stuff that he was talking about because I know he skimmed the surface on what he highlighted, but I want to hear how he actually broke it down. So what I'm going to do, I want to give you some basic requirements for being an effective sports parent, some of the basic requirements. One thing that I talk about here in the book is that, you know, your selection of appropriate sporting opportunities. Your selection of appropriate sporting opportunities. Now, I say that, parents, because I don't want you to allow someone else to take over this requirement or this task. I want you to make sure that you select the appropriate sporting opportunity. And I say that, and I want you to think about this. You know that there's some organizations out there that's looking for it just for the sake of how fast can they turn a dollar and to use our kids to turn that dollar. That's not the appropriate sporting opportunity. You don't want to get your child involved in nothing like that because at the end of the day, your child is being used and abused, and there's no return on your investment. And there's definitely no return on his finish. So you want to choose the appropriate sporting opportunity. All right, the next one. Understand that positive parenting is the key to success. understand that positive parenting is the key to success. That's self-explanatory. Parents, we always got to be on a positive note when we are talking about helping to guide, shape, and mold our children. It has to be positive. Continually putting negative thoughts into the conversation, negative thoughts into the message that you're sending out to them with your nonverbal cues, that's not good. That's not good. That's destructive from within. That's a poison that you don't want to feed into your child. So we have to continuously be a positive influence, because that positive influence do what? It's the key to the success. It's the key to our success. Number three, you want to manage your emotion. And that falls right along with being that positive sports parent. You want to manage your emotions, especially in high competitive environments. In high competitive environments. You know, we all seen it. We seen that parent that got out, that gets out there and do what? You want to argue with the referee. You want to argue with the coach. You want to yell at your child. You want to talk with other parents across the stands, across the bleachers, all this old kind of stuff. You get caught up in the game as if you were actually playing. Come on, parents. You're embarrassing yourself, and more importantly, you're embarrassing your child. Manage your emotions, please. Manage your emotions. Manage your emotions to the point of just simply saying what? Okay, all right, that happened. Now, speak something positive into the air. Not anything negative. Speak something positive into the air. You seen an event take place? Say, for example, I watched my son several times. He relaxed on defense. Guy got by, knowing that he could have stopped the point. But he relaxed, or he just let the guy go by because he didn't want to move his feet. Okay, so now what? The next time through, you know what move he's going to do. Follow that move. You know exactly what he's going to do. Follow that move. Don't get yourself caught up. But we want to manage our emotions because we don't want to get caught up and start yelling and screaming and doing all this foolishness on the sideline and getting caught up trying to cuss out the referee or cuss out the coach or cuss out the opposing coach. Uh-uh. Ain't none of that necessary. This is definitely a time now where, you know, you can't even get into a lot of the gyms, and coaches are probably enjoying it. And if parents continue to act the way they act, guess what? A whole lot of folks will keep doing that. Make you pay for it looking at it on a live stream. Really? Your child? And you got to pay to watch your child on live stream? Nah. So let's get our emotions together. Let's get our emotions together. We need to demonstrate healthy and beneficial relationships with others. Healthy and beneficial relationship with others. You know, being an effective sports parent, having healthy and beneficial relationship with others is a huge, huge, huge plus. Because you never know when that other person that you're interacting with may open the door for you, open the door for your child, or provide you with a resource that you didn't have. You know, that's simple. Or even look out for your child one day in your absence. That happens from time to time. So having a healthy and beneficial relationship with others, man, that's value in itself. value in itself. Number five, manage organizational and development demands. Manage organizational and development demands. I'm just going to simply put it like this, parents. There's been many times when I watch athletes out there playing basketball, and I'm going to stick to basketball because I've watched that quite a bit, a little bit more than other sports. Playing basketball just about 365. And the coach tells the young man, okay, hey, well, we got a tournament this month. We got a tournament this month. And we're going to be gone this weekend, and this weekend. But that's during the time that the child may be taking the SATs, or that may be the time that the child may be studying for final exams, or, you know, whatever. Or it may be the time where the child just needs to rest because he has been playing or she has been playing for the last 7 or 8 months. The body has to rest, recuperate, regenerate. You can't continue to push and push and push and push and push and not decide to give the body a rest. So that may be that time period that the body needs. I'll give you an example. We all know how AAU season used to go. Now it's been modified due to, you know, current pandemic situation. Okay, no problem. But from March all the way through until Memorial Day, used to be activity going on in the AAU world. That's for the upper tier AAU programs. You know, starting March, end of March, beginning of April, there was a tournament of some sort that would normally take place every weekend from the beginning of April all the way through until Memorial Day. So that's like just about 8 weeks. Just about 8 weeks you'll be involved in a tournament. I know. I've traveled that many a times with my child. Okay. So if those were the big tournaments, those were the highlights of the season, knowing that you're going to do that again in July for the next few weeks, once, right after the 4th of July, it kicks open again for the whole month of July. You got something going on. And these are 2 and 3 day tournaments. Maybe 4 day tournaments. All depends. So why are you still out there in June? Knowing that your child just finished the high school season in March, turn around and they wrap up for AAU season, start getting teams together and practicing and doing all these other things and in mid-March, late March, going straight into playing starting in April, roll it again all the way up until the end of May, and know that you're going to go hot and heavy, and that's where the big dividends come in normally in July. Why in June, when all school districts and institutions, colleges and everybody else, athletic directors, everybody else know that this is the period where the athletes are actually resting, why is your child still out there playing? Why is there still a coach out there that's hosting an event for your child or your team coach to say, yeah, let's go play in that? Why aren't they resting? Why aren't they allowing their body to recover? Because what that other coach is doing that's hosting this event, he's hosting this event and probably don't even have his team involved in it because they're resting. And he's hosting the event so he can raise money to take his team on the road in July. But you out there paying this big bucks, $400, $500, $600 for a 3 day tournament. And what? And it's so that he can raise money to take his team on the road in July. Or he put a B team in there just to see. Meanwhile, he's sitting back letting his boys rest. Know when to select the right sporting events. Finally, in this these requirements, folks, adopt your involvement to different stages of your child's athletic career. And what I mean by that is simply being able to understand where's your role in the different stages of your child's career. What is your role? Your role being what? Your role being that of, could be a coach at some point in time, or it could be of what? It could be of somebody just being there supportive, or it could be the person that ensures that he gets to the training and whatever else is going on. Could be a trainer. But know your role in different stages of your child's career. And I'll give you an example. Earlier on, when Mike was playing, I coached him. I stopped coaching him once he reached about 10 or 11 years old. I seen the potential in him. I knew that if I pushed him to try to bring it out, that wasn't going to be a win-win situation. So I allowed other coaches just to see if they seen the same potential. And they did. All of them did. It took a minute for them to really see it, but they did. And as a result, I pulled back, but I made sure that he made every competition that he was involved in, but at the same time maintaining my requirements as far as the academic side of things. And then later on in life, when he wanted to do specialized training or start working on building his body, I made sure that that was available to him. So I knew my role in each stage of his development. And we have to be able to do that as sports parents. This is not an optional thing, folks. This is something that we must do. We can't rely on anyone else to do it and do it in the best interest of our child if we're not willing to do it ourselves. Folks, you know, I've laid out some things here this afternoon, and I hope these things have been good for you, and they have been something that you really and truly can benefit from. But even more so, I want you to share this information. Join us on the Parents Coach the Parents Network, not just here on our podcast. Go to our Facebook page. Send me an inbox message. Say, hey, I want to learn more about the Parents Coach the Parents Network. Because we are a group of parents that we pride ourselves on guiding, assisting, mentoring, and educating the next generation of parents. So if you've been through the process, or you got a very good understanding of what the process is all about, or even if you don't have a child that's currently involved, but at some point in time you went through it at some point, or you just want to be there because you may not even have any children. But you want to be there because you know the value that this brings to the table for our young children, our athletes. Hey, we always are looking for the next generation of parents to step up to the mantle and take over the reins and say, hey, I want to help this group of kids get to that next level. Or I want to help this group of kids reach their own personal levels of success. And does that always mean necessarily getting to the next level, playing at the college level? That may not be it. We may only be able to take our children to playing in high school, or may even be just playing recreational at a community league. Now, does that end their sports career if that's what they, that's as far as they go? Think about this. There are so many other opportunities and positions in the sports industry other than being that one person called an athlete. Think about the thousands of people that support that group of athletes. Think about it. Had an opportunity to take some kids to the Philadelphia 76ers where Mike is currently playing, take them to the operations center. Took a group of kids from a local school to the operations center. And then they gave us a tour. And during that tour, they were able to see, those young men were able to see, because it was a group of boys, they were able to see the thousands of people that support the 13 athletes that hit the floor every night. They seen the folks that ran the media department. They seen the folks that ran the ticket department. They seen the folks that ran the training. They seen the folks that ran, publicity and all these other different things, marketing. They seen the folks that ran, you know, when you have the various entertainment pieces during halftime and during the game, you know, they seen folks that set all that up and make sure that all that was right, all I's were dotted and T's were crossed, and understood that, wow, we can look at the athletes, we see the athletes, but there's thousands of people behind them making all the bells and whistles work properly, work succinctly, work in conjunction with each other. And that's the value of it. So don't, hey, if your child's interested in sports and, you know, they're not really and truly that athlete, don't let them shy away from it. We ain't talking about security. We ain't talking about the folks that keep the grounds. We ain't talking about the folks that maintain the arena. All these other analytics. There's so many different pieces out there that your child can be involved in. I didn't even start to touch on talking to officials, referees, umpires, whatever you want to call them. That's an altogether different world. But be that supportive parent that can help your child reach their own personal level of success. Folks, hey, this is M.A. Scott, the host of the Parents Culture Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio, and it's been another great afternoon. And you know what? I would love to have the opportunity just to talk to you, and we sit back and figure out how we can help you move forward with your child and what your child really and truly wants to do as they pursue a career in sports. I think I've connected with a few folks in the industry that can probably open up a few doors or point us in the right direction. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. And on that note, hey, I'm going to step aside and let you enjoy the rest of this beautiful afternoon. But check us out every Sunday here on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. We're going live. We are going live every Sunday, 3 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm M.H. Scott, the host of the Parents Culture Parents Network. Hey, you have a great day. Let's close this thing out with a little bit more of my boy, Mr. Keith Wright.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball stops.